let's go to Shiel right now because the Eagles played a game. You know, one of the things we love about having Shiel on the show on Wednesdays, by the time we've talked to him, by the time we get to him, he has digested the game film. And so we really get the scoop of what really happened out there on the football field. Shiel joins us every Wednesday at this time. Of course, does fantastic work for The Ringer. Good morning, Shiel.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing well,
Shiel. Quite a bit. So, Shiel, let's start with the game, then we'll broaden it out to the team moving forward. But game-wise, offense, you've had a chance to digest the film. What stood out to you the most on offense?
Yeah, I mean, the offense was an unsettled performance, I would say. You put up a lot of yards. They had a lot of explosive plays, but down to down. It was inconsistent in the passing game, and you still had the turnovers there with Jalen Hurts, although I think the interception was probably more on Devontae Smith than Jalen Hurts. I have no problem with Jalen Hurts making that throw, but he had the fumble there. So there are still times where you look at it where you say, all right, he doesn't look totally comfortable with what's being called. He could kind of turn it loose there, but instead he holds on to the football a little bit. So they did enough to win. Goddard made some big plays. Hurts made some big plays. Saquon obviously might have saved the season with that run. It felt like at the time anyway, but certainly still a lot to work on.
Shiel, is there anything about Jalen or the offense specifically that you've noticed that helps him settle into the games? Because in the three games they've played, two of them, he's played much better as the game went on. Do you notice anything that leads to that?
It's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. No, I haven't noticed anything. I think most quarterbacks, if you get them some easy completion early on, if you maybe dial up a play that they like, a chunk play early on that they like throughout the week, that they're comfortable with, that they've played, that they've used before, maybe some of those things. But no, it's something to look for going forward.
Shiel, in your experience around the NFL with staffs and coaches, how common is collaborative play calling? Where we heard yesterday when we were talking with Nick Sirianni that, you know, he pitches in, that they talk about it, that it's not just Kellen Moore that's calling the plays. Is this common? And is this or is this something that we should be concerned about?
Yeah, I think it all depends. Like there was a scenario last season where Kyle Shanahan, I think it was a playoff game, and it was like third down or something, and his defensive coordinator called a blitz, and he overruled his defensive coordinator on the headset and was like, we're not blitzing right now. It's way too high risk. However, in this situation, I mean, you have to look at everything in context, and they made changes to the offensive staff, the organization, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman. They decided Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio were going to come in, and if Nick Sirianni wanted to keep his job, that these were going to be his coordinators. And so I was under the impression that he was kind of handing the keys to these guys and that he wasn't going to be involved at all with them calling plays. So that's why it raises my antenna a little bit, and I think it's unusual for this specific situation, even if it's not unusual for every, you know, coaching staff around the NFL.
Shiel, let's do one Sirianni question, and we'll get back to the game. Do you believe in Nick Sirianni, Shiel?
I have a lot of questions about him right now. I mean,
that's more of a no than a yes?
Yeah, that's more of a no than a yes. I mean, the way these first three games have gone and some of his game management and his in-game decision-making and what you guys just mentioned there, I don't know that this experiment, if you would have asked Jeffrey Lurie in the summer, in the offseason, that, hey, it's going to go this way after three games, I don't, even though they're 2-1, I don't know that he would love that. So, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not a big believer in kind of how this is working right now.
Shiel, let's get to some very important pieces that were out the other day, and the Eagles got a win with a bunch of backups on offense. How did those backups look? I'm sure there's a good chance a bunch of them are going to have to play coming up on Sunday again. Who played well, who didn't, of the random backups?
Yeah, I thought Tyler Steen did a nice job at right guard, and it's been just sort of a strange career for him as an Eagle so far, but I thought he came in and he did a nice job there replacing Mekhi Becton. Fred Johnson, you know, in the run game, I thought he did a good job in pass protection. There were some issues, but it's hard. I mean, you come in as a backup, and really you just don't want the game to be destroyed. You see some of these teams, their backup offensive linemen come in. The team the Eagles are playing this weekend, they've had issues when their backup offensive linemen come in. They can't do anything. The offense can't function. So I give both those guys credit. It's a hard spot to come in and play. And even though I think, you know, Fred Johnson, it's not going to look like Lane Johnson, you know, they did enough to allow the offense to function.
How about the backup wide receivers? Because a bunch of them not only got run, but it's going to happen again. What'd you make of their performance?
Yeah, I mean, they just haven't gotten a lot of action. You know, Jahan Dotson did a nice job freeing up Dallas Goedert on that last play, but now it's like you guys are probably going to have to catch the football more. They're going to have to dial up plays for you. That hasn't really been the case, so they haven't gotten a big opportunity. Dotson's a guy who's had, what, 500, 600-yard seasons previously in his career, so he's done some things. It's not like he has never been a guy who's been targeted, but they haven't shown me that yet. I mean, they just haven't been a part of the offense, a part of the passing game.
Let's talk about the defensive side of things. Was it attitude that stopped the Saints, or was it scheme?
You know, it's actually an interesting backstory with the scheme, where if you remember that Rams-Patriots Super Bowl that was really ugly, I think it was 2018, in that Super Bowl, Bill Belichick implemented a scheme that Vic Fangio had used earlier in the season against that vaunted Los Angeles Rams offense. And Fangio in this game brought that scheme back out, where he's playing six guys at the line of scrimmage, and he's saying, no, you know, that stretch run that we talked about last week, you're not going to be able to use that against us in this game. And it worked beautifully. I mean, the Saints could not run the football. I think on early downs, they averaged under 3 yards per carry. So it was a little bit of both. Guys played hard, guys played well. But I'll give Fangio a lot of credit, where he was throwing some changeups there at the Saints that they weren't ready for, and really completely shut down an offense that was playing well through the first 2 weeks of the season.
The difference in Jordan Davis's performance between the first couple weeks and last week, how profound was it?
You know, I would say a little bit. I don't know that I would go, like, overboard with it. I like using him on stunts, which they did early in the game, to free him up for that sack when you get the big man moving a little bit and he doesn't have to worry about beating a guy one-on-one. I thought that worked really well, and I would like to see that more. And he did do a good job in the run game. There's no doubt about it. He's in the middle there. He was holding the point of the attack. And he was disruptive. So he did a nice job, but I don't know if you're going to ask me about him next or not, but oh my gosh, Jalen Carter in this game. Like, this is film where you would look at it and say, this guy has a chance to be the best defensive tackle in the NFL. And wow. I know they had backups in there with the Saints, but I was writing note after note about how this guy was wrecking possession, wrecking play after play. That's the guy you need. If this is going to be a good defense, that's the version of Jalen Carter you need to show up consistently for the rest of the season.
So he's the reason. He's the attitude maker. He's the catalyst for the way that defense played, in your opinion?
I mean, there were plays where the Saints had guys open and Derek Carr was looking at him, and Jalen Carter just wrecked the play. Or Derek Carr had to get rid of the football a little bit earlier. Or it was a high leverage run play, and he's in the backfield before Alvin Kamara can do anything. I mean, he was everywhere in this game. Easily the best performance by an Eagles defensive player this season, and I don't think it's even close.
Wow, that's incredible, especially coming off week one, Zach Bond. That was, you know, 15 tackles and 2 sacks. That was quite the performance. Let's talk about a lesser performance. Bryce Huff, how was it? And is it possible that this guy could actually hold up against the run at some point this season?
I mean, you look at the play. So early on, it's a 3rd and 1. He gets pinched inside, and they get a run to the outside. He doesn't set the edge. It's an 8-yard run. After that play, I noticed he's replaced by Brandon Graham. All the other 10 starters are still on the field. He was the only one replaced after that. And so I look at that, and you look at Brandon Graham's play and Bryce Huff's play in this game, it's not even close. There's no coach in the NFL who would say, I'm going to play Bryce Huff over Brandon Graham. I mean, Bryce Huff was getting blocked one-on-one by tight ends and pass protection in this game. And then there's a play at the end of the game where they try to do that with Brandon Graham, and he drives the guy back into Derek Carr's lap within 2 seconds. And so, listen, I don't want to pile on the guy and crush him. I don't know if there's an injury or what's going on, but just what I see on the film, there's no way you can play Bryce Huff more than Brandon Graham in this defense right now. Maybe that'll change by Halloween or by Thanksgiving, and he'll get more comfortable. Right now, he is not giving them anything as a pass rusher. It's not just against the run. When he gets pass rush opportunities, he's giving them nothing. He doesn't have a single pressure through 3 games.
Wow. Hey, Shield, last thing here, my man. Give us a Bucs scouting report. Eagles are a small favorite. They got smoked there last year in January. How good is Tampa?
Yeah, their offense, they've had offensive line injuries, and they can't block anyone. Baker Mayfield was sacked 7 times last week. He's been sacked, I think, 14% of the times he drops back. So this is another game where you need your defensive line to dominate and to get after him. Now, they do have talent at wide receiver, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So if you get the pass rush you got the first 2 weeks of the season, he can dice you up a little bit and get hot. And then we know Todd Bowles has some the different things he does with the blitzes and forcing Jalen Hurts to roll to his left. We've seen that before. So the Eagles need answers to those things. And I'll tell you what, this is a fun measuring stick game. Mm-hmm. They're banged up, and you say, hey, is Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore, and you don't have a whole lot else. I mean, you have Saquon and Goddard, but you might be injured on the offensive line and at wide receiver. How good is this duo of quarterback and play caller? Can you still go down there and be efficient and come away with a win? I think we're going to learn a lot about those two guys specifically, potentially, in this game.
Look, if the Eagles can get to 3-1 through some really strong adversity in September, even though it might be an ugly way to get there, that'd be a good start record-wise. Shiel, great work, bud. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Shiel.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Shiel.
You got it, my man. You got it. Let's talk to Tom in Abington right now. Back to the phones. Good morning, Tom.
Yo, gang. How are we doing this morning?
Super.
All right, all right. Well, I'm on my way to a funeral this morning. Rest in peace, Aunt Jean.
Well, condolences to you, Tom.
Yeah. So you bring up Nish Chirianni, and I feel the need to call in. Mm-hmm. Do I have any faith in him? No. So according to his answers in recent press conferences, we have, what, 18 coaches giving input during the game?
Seemed to be a lot, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate collaboration during the week. I get that. But in game, I need one guy locked in, dialed in, making calls.
Well,
and this guy.
So, Tom, here's the fascinating thing. I'm sorry to cut you off, but let me just say this. Here's what you need in game. You need this. You need one guy to have the final call. Every team has one guy to have the final call. What I believe, based on what we've heard Sirianni say in the last 2 days, the guy that we thought had final call on offense doesn't.
Right. It's Nish.
There you go.
And that's a problem. He's going to cost us games down the road. And I hope he can rein this in, because he's trying to prove that he's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles when we already know it. We know it, Nish. You don't have to prove it. You're working too
hard. Well, Tom, here's what would be fascinating to know. When Lurie and Howie had those private meetings with him in mid-January and stripped him of power, what was the back and forth like?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, because Nick Sirianni would only override Kellen Moore if he has the authorization to do so. Let's be real. He can't do it. Otherwise, he'd just get fired. So they obviously authorized him. I'd be curious to know, did they want him not to be able to override the offense coordinator? And then he says, guys, I'm not in for that. Like, Doug was like, I'm not in for you guys telling me who my coaches are.
I mean, has Nick ever drawn the line and said, hold on, we don't know. No way, guys. I'm not going to lower myself to that point.
I tend to think it didn't come to that, John. I tend to think Lurie and Howie just... No, I tend to think they're just allowing him without that back and forth, because
there's no way he's saying it publicly if he didn't get the okay from above. There's no way.
And listen, let me put it this way. If he wasn't allowed to override the offensive coordinator, I would think he would be the only head coach in football not allowed to override the offensive coordinator.
Well, that's what he's qualified to do.
All right, Tom, give me a great answer here. A notable fictional royal.
Okay, so just keep in mind the prize when I give you this answer. Mm-hmm. How about the King of Hearts?
King of Hearts.
Kevin Hart.
I gotcha.
See what you did there.
King of Hearts. I think the Queen of Hearts is better, but fair enough.